Certain actions are taken out of mercy, necessity, or guilt. The logic may be impeccable and irrefutable, but the heart knows nothing of logic. Gurney Halleck, Unfinished Songs. When the gaze hounds were on the scent, Gurney loved the flood of adrenaline. As he ran with the animals, he became so engrossed in the chase that he could almost forget the painful memories he had accumulated over a lifetime. With Jessica away on Seleucus Secundus and the front lines of Muad'Dib's jihad far from here, he considered it an excellent time for a hunt. Until recently, his life had been so turbulent that he'd never considered owning pets. But he was an Earl of Caladan now, a nobleman. He was expected to have a private estate, a manor house, a retinue of servants, and of course, hunting dogs. Gurney had never meant to become so attached to the creatures, nor even to give them individual names, but he needed to call them something other than Blackie or White Spot. For no better reason than that he had no other ideas, he named the six dogs after planets on which he had fought during the jihad. Galacia, Geary, Jakar, Anbus, Haviri, and Kiel. Each dog had its own personality, and they all reveled in the attention he gave them by patting their heads and rubbing their chests, brushing their fur, feeding them treats. The gaze hounds could run for hours across the moors until they scared up a marsh hare, which they chased with a wild baying chorus. Today, though, the prey had gotten away, despite a long and exhausting chase. But at least the dogs got their exercise, and so did he. His clothes were damp with sweat, and his lungs burned. When he took the dogs back to their kennel and fed them an extra bowl of food, the hound he'd named Gaiety growled and sulked as he ate. Uncharacteristically, the dog had lagged behind in the chase today. Concerned, Gurney stepped into the kennel and saw that the animal's eyes were watery and red. Gaiety let out a small defensive growl when his master touched him.
"You look sick, boy. I'd better isolate you from the others."
Tugging on Gaiety's collar, he hauled the reluctant black and tan hound to a separate run. If the dog didn't improve by tomorrow, Gurney would have to go into Kala City and find a skilled veterinarian. The following morning, the gaze hound looked decidedly worse, eyes scarlet from scleral hemorrhaging. Gaiety barked and howled, then whined as if in deep pain. When Gurney approached the kennel, the unfortunate animal threw himself against the barrier, growling and snapping. Three of the other hounds, Jakar, Anbus, and cream-colored Haviri, had red-rimmed eyes as well and sulked in the backs of their kennels. Gurney felt a heavy fear in his gut and immediately summoned a veterinarian to his estate. The man took one look at the animals and shook his head.
"Bloodfire virus. The symptoms are unmistakable, and you know it's incurable, my lord. Much as you love your dogs, they will only grow worse. They'll suffer, and will begin to attack one another, even you. You've got to put all four of the sick ones down before the last two get infected.
I can do it, if you like."
"No, there must be something you can do."
The veterinarian looked at him with heavy-lidded eyes.
"Bloodfire is a rare disease among animals on Caladan, but once contracted, it is always fatal. Separate out the two healthy dogs immediately, or you'll lose them too. But the others..."
The doctor shook his head.
"End their suffering now. A mad dog must be put down. Everyone knows that."
Gurney practically shoved the man back to his ground car, then returned to the kennels. From their individual cages, the two healthy dogs, Galacia and Kiel, looked at their sick companions, whining mournfully. Gurney asked one of his men-at-arms to help him separate the other three moody and lethargic dogs into empty cages. Haviri lashed out and tried to bite him, but with his fighting reflexes, Gurney twisted away just in time. Feeling a chill, he realized that if he were to contract the disease, His own fate would be a long and painful series of treatments, with no guarantee of success. The dog named Gaiety, sick but not lethargic, threw himself against the kennel barrier, barking and scratching until his muzzle was bloody and his claws shattered. Mucus streamed from the dog's eyes, and Gurney wept. The animal didn't know him now, didn't know anything except its pain and virus-driven fury. Gurney had faced horrific tragedies in his life, from his youth when he was tormented and forced to work in the Harkonnen slave pits, and they had raped and murdered his sister, to his days in the service of House Atreides, when he tried to stop the horrific massacre at Duke Leto's wedding, and later when he served on the battlefields of Grumman, Dune, and countless places in Paul's Jihad. Gurney had been forged and tempered in a crucible of extreme pain. And this was just a dog. Just a dog. Gurney quivered as he stood there, unable to see through the veil of tears in his eyes. His knees were weak. His heart pounded as if it would explode. He felt like a coward, unable to do what was necessary. He had killed a great many men with his own hand. But this, what he had to do to a loyal animal. Moving like an ancient automaton, he went to the hunting locker and returned with a flechette pistol. Time and again he had shot cornered prey and put them out of their misery, making it quick. But now, the nerves in his fingers had gone dead. He aimed the pistol, but it wavered even as the dog snarled at him. Somehow, he managed to fire a needle into Gaiety's chest. The dog let out a final yelp and collapsed into merciful silence. Gurney staggered to the other kennels, where the remaining sick dogs huddled uncertainly. But he could not bring himself to put them down. They hadn't reached that point yet. Letting the needle pistol drop to the ground, he staggered away. Only two of his gaze hounds remained uninfected. He ordered them quarantined. The next day, Keel also showed reddened eyes, and Gurney dragged him out of the kennel with Galicia. 5 of the 6. He had been too afraid, had avoided the hard truth too long, and he steeled himself now. He was forced to use the needle pistol 4 more times. It didn't get any easier. He stood there trembling, stunned, torn. Afterward, only Galicia remained, the gentlest of the hounds, the one who most adored attention, the female who wanted to be treated like a princess. When he was all alone in the silence of the kennels, smelling the blood, Gurney slipped into the cage with her and collapsed beside her. Galicia lay down, resting her head in his lap, her ears drooping. He stroked her tawny fur and felt sadness rage through his body. At least he had saved her. Only one. If he had acted more swiftly, if he had taken the first dog into quarantine as soon as he'd suspected the illness, if he had gone to the veterinarian earlier, if he'd been brave enough to face the pain of losing a few dogs, he might have saved the others. He had hesitated, denied his duty, and the other gaze hounds had paid for it. No matter how much he loved them, killing the dogs had been the only way to cut losses, to stop them from doing further damage, to minimize the inevitable greater pain. As soon as the virus began to spread, the rest of his options had disappeared. Gurney heaved a great breath. He felt so weak, so devastated. Galicia whimpered, and he patted her head. She looked up at him helplessly. Her eyes had begun to turn red.